So, you know, there are so many different ways to say Merry Christmas. One of the ways, we learned a couple of languages tonight, and you probably already know some of this at least. In Spanish, it's Feliz Navidad. Can you say that? Feliz Navidad. Now, our family actually had the privilege of living in Hawaii for a few years, and the way that Merry Christmas is said in Hawaiian is... There you go, honey. Mele kalikimaka. Can you say that? Mele kalikimaka. Oh, and they don't like that. Yeah. But you know what? Merry Christmas to all of you as we gather here this night. There's so many things for us to be grateful for wherever we may be in our life. I don't know about you, but Christmas has so many different feelings with it, doesn't it? And one of the realities is that we want to fill up, we want to feel good, but we still have life. There's still ups and downs. But for me, Christmas is a moment where we can take some time to be thankful and that we can be grateful for God's great gift to us, be grateful for family and friends, and for wonderful gifts and food to follow as well. So there's so much for us to celebrate. One of the things that we also have to celebrate, kids especially, right, are gifts. Now tonight, kids, some of you will be able to open up a gift on Christmas Eve, and if that's not the tradition in your family, you'll be able to open up presents on Christmas morning. But either way, it's going to be a winner, right? You can't wait. It's going to be fun, and you'll get to find out whether or not you got the gift that you wanted. Gift-giving is one of the wonderful, wonderful things we celebrate during Christmas. And I want to share with you the true story about a family and their journey of getting gifts. Kathleen Dixon shares, "I was a single parent of four small children working at a minimum wage job. Money was always tight, but we had a roof over our heads, food on the table, clothes on our backs, and if not a lot, always enough. My kids told me that in those days, they didn't know that we were poor. They just thought that mom was cheap." "I've always been glad about that," she shares. "It was Christmas time, and although there wasn't money for a lot of gifts, we planned to celebrate with church and family, parties and friends, drive downtown to see the Christmas lights, special dinners, and by decorating our home. But the big excitement for the kids was the fun of Christmas shopping at the mall. They talked and planned for weeks ahead of time, asking each other and their grandparents what they wanted for Christmas. I dreaded it. I had saved $120 for presents to be shared by all five of us. The big day arrived and we started out early. I gave each of the four kids a $20 bill and reminded them to look for gifts about $4 each. Then everyone scattered. We had 2 hours to shop. Then we would meet back at the Santa workshop display." And again, as I was sharing earlier, Christmas and gifts go together, don't they? It's part of what we celebrate during this time, and part of the reality of celebrating gifts is celebrating the gift of Jesus as well. The first Christmas actually was held in 330 AD. Pope Julius I officially designated December 25th as to be the day on which Christmas was celebrated, Christ's birth. Gift-giving actually dates back to the 4th century when St. Nicholas, we've heard that name before, generously gave to the less fortunate. At that time, gifts were homemade sweets and food, or maybe knitted blankets or other items that were given to others. God's Christmas gift to us, as we know, is the gift of Jesus Christ, as we gather here this day. And that gift is a gift of love and a gift of light. It's a love that's very special in that God gave the gift of his son. And for any of you that have children, you know what a gift that was. That was a heartbreaking gift. And yet he gave the gift of his son out of love for all of us here and for all of humanity throughout time that we might come home to him through Jesus. That we might say yes to his unconditional love that he was showering upon us in the gift of his son and come to him in a way that was fresh and new and restored and healed and forgiven. And so On Christmas Eve, what we celebrate here today is that God is not shaking his fist at us in anger. What we celebrate here on Christmas Eve is that God is not waiting to hurl lightning bolts at us for the next thing that we do wrong. But rather, what we celebrate here on Christmas Eve is God's great love for us. Wonderful love for us. And I believe that for many of us here, even people that have been in the church for a while, that is still a gift we have yet to embrace, his wonderful gift of love. The other aspect of this gift of Jesus is the gift of light. It says in our first lesson today in Isaiah that those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's like walking in a pitch black place when all of a sudden you come upon this great street light that you're glad to find because you're walking in pitch darkness. That's the way the light of Christ was in this land of great darkness. The light of the world showed up on that first Christmas Eve night, so much so that angel choirs gathered to serenade him at his birth, so much so that shepherds were called to come and greet him at his manger where he lay and to worship him along with the angels. And the truth that has not changed for you and me is that if we would open our heart to him, even at this point, wherever we are in our lives, that his transforming light can come in ways that are new and fresh for you and me, that we might experience more fully who he is. So I ask you here this night, have you opened the gift of Jesus yet? This is actually a Christmas present from underneath our tree at home. My wife was very firm with me before I left. You're not going to open that during church, are you? I said, no, honey, I'm not, because it needs to last for 3 services. I'm not going to open the gift. But you know what? This is one of the gifts under our trees, much like the gifts you have under your tree as well. And wouldn't it be a shame tomorrow morning if we opened up all the gifts that were underneath our tree, just enjoyed them and relished them, and yet, yeah, there's something in there. And yet, after we opened up all the gifts, we decided, you know what? We're not going to open up this gift. We're going to leave it alone. And we're not even going to unwrap it and find out what is inside this gift and what it is. Wouldn't that be a shame for the person who bought it, for the person who thoughtfully went out to get it and give it in love and joy, and took the time to wrap it? By the way, this is a great wrap job. It's going to be about 5 minutes to open up this present. But you know what? There are so many people in the world today, maybe even some people here tonight, that God has given the gift of the baby Jesus. And Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, the gift of his love, the gift of his transforming light remains unopened under the tree of your heart. Need to open up that gift. Need to open up that gift. Friedrich Buchner shares in The Hungering Dark that the only way to know if Jesus is true, if the gift is worth opening up after all this time, is to give him a try. Adeste fidelis, come all ye faithful, and all ye who would like to be faithful if only you could. All ye who walk in darkness and hunger for light, have faith enough, despair enough, foolishness enough, at least to draw near for yourselves. Pray for him and see if he comes in ways that you'll recognize. The great promise is that to come to him who was born at Bethlehem is to find coming to birth within ourselves something stronger and braver, gladder and kinder and holier than ever we knew before or than ever we could have known without him. And I just want to cry out to each one of you here today. First of all, Merry Christmas. Meli Kaliki Mala Feliz Navidad, the whole 9 yards. I want you to have a great time. But I want to encourage you here on this Christmas, if you have not opened up the gift of Jesus and said, I say yes to your love for me. I say yes to your light for me. I don't know what anybody else is going to do this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but I'm going to open up the present once and for all. I'm going to say yes to you. Oh, what a Christmas it will be for you. What a Christmas it will be for everyone who does that. Well, the kids came back to the Santa Claus display after they had been shopping for 2 hours, and Kathleen Dixon shares the rest of the story. Back in the car driving home, everyone was in high Christmas spirits, laughing and teasing each other with hints and clues about what they had bought. My younger daughter, Ginger, who was about 8 years old, was unusually quiet. I noted she had only one small flat bag with her after her shopping spree. I could see enough through the plastic bag to tell that she had bought candy bars, 50-cent candy bars. I was so angry. What did she do with the $20 that I gave her? I wanted to yell at her, but I didn't say anything until we got home. I called her into my bedroom and closed the door, ready to be angry again, when I asked her what she had done with the money. This is what she told me. I was looking around, thinking of what to buy, and I stopped to read the little cards on one of the Salvation Army's giving trees. One of the cards was for a little girl, 4 years old, and all she wanted for Christmas was a doll with clothes and a hairbrush. So I took the card off the tree and bought the doll and the hairbrush for her and took it to the Salvation Army booth. I only had enough money left to buy candy bars for us, Ginger continued, but we have so much and she doesn't have anything. Kathleen shared, I never felt so rich as I did on that day. Gifts of dolls and hairbrushes and candy bars. The gift of a little baby named Jesus Christ.